Okay.
Awesome. Hi, it's Diane, and it is Tuesday, March 6th. I'm here with the Noon Group so far, Cammie and Velma. Who wants to start us with check-ins and celebrations?
This is Velma. I can start. Can you hear me okay?
Yep.
Okay. So my check-in and celebration is that I managed to very diplomatically and easily light touch talk with my daughter about what I knew was going to happen. She was about to crash from not being able to figure out her priorities.
Mm-hmm.
And we managed to have a really nice, light-handed discussion about it, ending up with a list of what her priorities are. So it's her list. So I'm really proud of that.
Awesome. Cammie, what about you?
Well, there's been a few celebrations, but my celebration this week would be that I got a note yesterday home, well, on the email from the boys' teacher that said that he had a tough day. It was the first day back after a few days off. But anyway, when he came home, I was, kind of trying to feel him out to see how much he could handle, and he was doing pretty good, so I was kind of a little more heavy-handed with him than I usually am, because he's come a long way, and so anyway, that worked out great. So he comes back, I guess he was goofing around in one of his classes, which hasn't been an issue for a long time. We've worked really, really hard on it. But anyway, he comes back to me a little while longer, maybe 20 minutes later, he comes back in. And the celebration is that he was honest with himself and he was honest with me. And he comes back in and he says, Mom, he goes, I really don't like it when you're upset with me. He said, the reason that I wasn't behaving in math class is because I've been really trying to flirt with this girl. And he says, Mom, it's been going on for a little more than a week now. I just thought that was great. Yeah. So, anyway, that's my celebration.
So how did you handle it, Tammy?
How did I handle it?
How did you respond? How did you respond when he told you?
Well, I was really happy that he had done that. But anyway, I told him that his first priority was to try and, be focused in on the class. So he said, I know, Mom, I know. He's just worked really, really hard to get into that class. So so he understands that he needs to stay in that class.
So I'm curious. If you haven't already, can I challenge you to go back and thank him for being honest about it and give him some compassion?
Yes, that's really good. I will absolutely do that today. And you know what? It's probably better that I do that today than he may have lost that if I did it yesterday. So that's really great. Thank you for reminding me of that.
Awesome. Because it's really, it's in those moments, it's like, I get it. I mean, like, I don't know if you it's like you can flash back to being in ninth grade and thinking about somebody instead of thinking about the teacher. It's pretty easy to do. So
I was just so thankful that he was kind of acting neurotypical, instead of concentrating on sitting still, he was just acting like a 14-year-old. So, I was just happy about that. But anyway,
love that.
Thank you.
Awesome. Jennifer, hi. What about you? Jennifer, do you have us on mute? Oh, she joined us, but she probably has us on mute because she might be at work.
Can I?
Did I hear my name?
I did. Hi, we're just doing this is Tammy and Vilma and you today, so we're doing check-ins. You want to check in?
Yeah, I check in. Not a whole heck of a lot going on or changed. My son's still way behind and stuff, and trying at any cost to get out of writing papers. He has two he has to do. But the funny thing was, he went and paged at the Georgia State Capitol yesterday for our senator. And I said, boy, I said, you know what? You should write a paper about this. Your teacher would love it. And he looked at me like, yeah, right, Mom. I already owe them a paper. But I got an email from his teacher this morning saying that he asked if instead of the essay he is supposed to write for the class, he asked if he could write a paper about his paging experience yesterday. And I told him it was fine as long as he included in it what he thought would happen and what he actually did happen. So I thought that was kind of neat that he actually took the hint or bait, I guess, because I was hoping that he would see, hey, maybe I could do this instead of that. And he did it, and he asked. I was really surprised that I didn't have to ask him again.
Awesome. So
I'm not gonna write that anytime soon.
Yeah. So I'm curious though, because last time we were talking about compassion, how'd you do on your homework?
It's a process.
It is.
Ongoing. Sometimes I failed, and sometimes I did really well.
Awesome. What did you notice the most?
That when I did try and show more compassion than I normally would, he talked a little bit more, or he didn't, wasn't as angry sounding when he was talking to us. I guess, you know, when I started it off, you know, showing compassion and stuff, he wasn't defensive, I guess would be the word, as quickly or as easily as you would have been before.
Okay. So it sounds like so how motivating was that to kind of keep going and trying it so that, you know, you continue to move the needle?
Somewhat. It's hard for me to always do it. You know, always be able to decide that way, I guess.
Okay. Well, that makes sense. I see somebody just joined us from an Ohio area code. Who's there?
It's Megan.
Hi, Megan. How are you today? Diane.
Fine, thanks. How are you doing?
Okay, so there's four of you, and everybody else just kind of finished their check-in. Do you mind jumping it right in and giving your check-in and celebration?
I'm not sure I have a celebration today. But
okay.
Because it's been a couple hard days, so I think maybe I'll just I have to think about that.
So you want to check in and just kind of give us the bottom line of what your challenge has been the last couple of days?
My kids' school do one-on-one laptop, and even though there's a lot of powerful stuff that's great for kids with ADHD with using a laptop and having assignments online, both of my kids don't use it for that, and they very much, you know, go towards YouTube or social media. Luckily, they're not looking at anything unsavory, but it's just like it makes them zombies, and they don't do their work.
So it's distracting them. Yeah, that makes sense.
It's hard to. We do have parental controls, and we have a circle that we have in the network. So it's just we're just fighting that battle.
So is that a place where you think you want to take aim, Megan? Because that would be where I'm going to move to next.
That'd be great.
So specifically, is it about how to monitor laptop use? Is it about how to get them to be more independent about monitoring their own laptop use? I can't remember how old your kiddos are.
I have one who's 15 in ninth grade. She just turned 15, and I have one who just turned 12 in sixth grade.
Okay. And how would you describe what the changes that you want to see?
Well, ideally, they would, you know, use the laptop appropriately to get work done, and then they could play on the laptop, or they would, take breaks from doing work and then have a little bit of fun, but then be able to transition from the break back to work. It would be great if they had any self-awareness at all about how they were using the laptop.
So it sounds like what you really want to do at the macro level is to improve the appropriate use of the laptop.
Yeah.
Right? Okay, so let's narrow it in a little bit. So is it about getting their homework done in the afternoons? Is it about...
It's sort of twofold. Yes, it's getting homework done in the afternoons. It's also that I have children who try to sneak their devices to bed or wake up at 4 in the morning to try to sneak onto devices.
So those are really two different things. Which one feels like the place to start for you?
Well, I will say that I feel like with the school, they both have 504 plans. There is an on-site psychologist that sees them biweekly. We are now at the point where we're looking at changing the 504 to state less computer usage and, you know, do more stuff offline. So I feel like we actually have maybe some momentum there. But I feel like at home that we're, it's like this forever. I feel maybe the nighttime thing, maybe them sneaking the devices is more of an issue because that's been ongoing. And despite our efforts, we haven't been able to tamp down on that.
Okay, great. So increasing the appropriate use of laptops, specifically this issue with sneaking the devices at night.
Yep.
Okay. Great. Let's go backwards. Velma, where are you taking aim?
Hi. Can I lay out the situation and you tell me exactly where I'm aiming?
Sure.
So, okay.
Can you give me the CliffsNotes version?
What? Sorry.
Can I challenge you to give me the CliffsNotes version?
Yes.
Okay.
So my positive point was that she had made a list of priorities. And the list went something like this. School first, she's in college. School first, dog second, work third. Job third. So this was on Sunday. So on Monday, she tells me that she has a Saturday planned where she works from 9 to 5 and babysits from 6 to 11, which tells me that she's not interpreting her priority list at all. It's not making it sense. How do I get her to see that, work that through? So the curiosity thing would be to say, so why'd you take that babysitting job?
So hang on a second. So it sounds a little bit, the way you phrased it, it sounds like you've got an agenda in there for her. What's really the problem?
What? I'm going to switch you, the audio,
well,
to...
yeah, so here, I'll let you switch, and then I'll ask the question a different way.
Okay. All right.
So if I were to just hear you describe that, it sounds like a perfect plan because she's got an hour between one and the other and she's, you know, going to do two things in a day and she feels like she can handle it. So what's the problem that you're trying to solve?
Well, she won't be studying on Saturday, which is one of the few days she does have for studying. And she won't be taking her dog for a walk. It'll take her an hour to drive from school to the babysitting, from her job.
Okay. So what I'm hearing you say is that now that she has this priority list, you want to help figure out how you can support her in accomplishing her daily priorities. Is that right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Right.
So I'm going to...
It's not about Saturday. Example.
Yeah. Well, and I'm going to back it up a layer because you've got an older kid, right? Because... What I heard underneath what you said was, okay, she said these were important, so I'm going to make sure she does it. And I'm being a little bit facetious, but does that resonate, which is?
No, I can't make sure that she does it. I can't.
It sounds like you decided that it's important for her to study on Saturday, even though she hasn't said that she wants to study on Saturday. Did I get that right?
Saturday is just an example. So she has said she wants that list, the priority list was hers. So she said her most important thing is to study.
Got it. Okay. So what it sounds like then, let me reframe it then, Vilma, so that makes great sense.
Yeah.
So it sounds like now that she has a priority list, what you're really trying to figure out is what's your role in the next step of helping her put the priority list in place. Is that right?
Right, right, right.
Okay. How does that feel?
Yep, that's it.
Okay.
Exactly.
Great. Tammy.
Yes. What I'm taking aim at is kind of what I've been all along and just keeping his, just very gently, subtly, I guess, is keeping his vision open to next year. They start, he's going into the high school next year, and the school system starts placement so early. They started it, about a month ago. So, kind of determining where your kid will go to school. So, he knows why we've chosen. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So are you trying to figure out kind of how to engage him in a conversation about next year? Or are you trying to figure out how to decide next year?
No. We've done all of that together. We've done all of that together. And I get his buy-in, and he knows about the whole thing. But I'm just trying to kind of subtly and gently just keep, his vision attuned to that so that he doesn't mess it all up. He kind of did all the hard work to apply for everything, but then there's these months until the end of school that the kids have to kind of stay on course. So
okay,
I'm
so,
trying to keep them on course.
So can you, because so that feels, I know in your head that there's some specifics in there. Is there one or two specifics that you would identify if it's helping him to keep his grades up? Is it helping him to, because it this is the point to narrow in, which is what specifically does he need to keep on track?
Yeah, to be really honest with you, I've handed over a few of the steps of the responsibility on his own. I think I'm pretty much just trying to keep him aware of, you know, what he actions and what your actions now, you know, could play out later. So
hang on a second. What it sounds like you're trying to figure out is how to best now that you've kind of done the handoff, how to best scaffold so that neither of you get a surprise.
Right.
Is that right?
Yep, and I have it set up where the teacher emails me every day and everything, so I probably know more about what's going on in his life than he would ever think that I do. But I'm just trying to keep him a little aware of his choices. And he's doing
really
well.
It sounds like a strategy, which would be kind of like mirroring, which is like, okay, I want to make sure I let him know what I'm seeing with regard to his independence. And so I'm wondering whether there's a step before that, which is really, it sounds like you've figured out what you want to do, but what's your real goal? Not to step on his toes or to make sure he doesn't crash and burn? What's your real goal?
My goal is to make sure that he, my goal is to help him to be aware that there is a payoff in him doing so well. His behavior, how he carries himself in school and completing assignments and all of that, that's great, but he's not doing it for me. He's doing it for himself and to get to where he needs to be. And that's what I want him to see, you know, little
okay.
by little.
So can I poke at this for a minute, Tammy? Because
sure.
Now that I understand it, I want to, okay. So what you're talking about is kind of shifting the motivation to intrinsic or internal motivation for him.
Right.
And the reality is he may or may not be ready developmentally to take that on.
Mm-hmm.
And so what I'm going to challenge you to do is to go back and talk more generally about helping him to become more aware of the role that motivation plays with him, because he may or may not be, and I guess that's the question, is he may not be ready to say, okay, before, you know, I can see this and yes, it's important to me, is it may be far away from where he is, or it may be the next step, but you never know when he's going to be ready to take that step. Does that make sense?
Yep, it sure does.
So how would you rephrase it then with that additional input from me?
Let's see. How would I rephrase it? I might just, I mean, my whole thing is probably, I mean, what I've done right along is let him know that I'm here, and that, you know, that we're here to help him, you know, at whatever step along the way. I mean, the other thing is, I mean, the school is preparing the eighth graders too. They've been preparing them for like 3 or 4 months. So, I mean, he's hearing it from the school side as well. But I just don't want to, I want to make sure he's not nervous about, you know, all of that, which he's doing really well. We've been, you know, we've had a real open communication about it for several months now. It's just every now and then I like to kind of make sure that he's on course.
So how do you feel about just kind of leaving it at kind of at increased awareness rather than, because he may not, because I want to see you set yourself up for success, and if he's not ready to do it himself,
right.
Be beating your head against the wall because he's not there yet, right? You might need to be the one that reminds him or says, or the school might, or whatever else. I mean, he still may be relying on external motivators.
Oh, right. Oh, absolutely. Absolutely, okay. Yes. So keep...
How does that feel?
Keep his awareness. It feels great. Yep. Keep his awareness increased on that. Yep. Perfect.
Okay. Cool. Jennifer.
Take aim. I think I want to just continue where I've been, and it ties into this week too, and just be compassionate and use curiosity and the compassion to help him learn better on what he needs to do. Help him, sort of figure it out himself by, kind of planting a seed. That makes sense.
It does, and it feels familiar to what Tammy was just discussing, and I think I want to kind of take us back to this, because the reality is that we all want our kids to be intrinsically motivated, right? We want them to get to that place where we don't have to remind them that if they fail a test, it might impact their grade for the whole semester. And if they're not getting it now, it's not because they don't get it. It's because their brain's not ready to get it.
Right.
And so it's kind of like saying, okay, I'm going to help my kids speak French tomorrow. If there's a lot of steps between where they are and I believe it's more a developmental thing than a work harder thing. So it goes back to that naughty versus neurological. So if our kids aren't intrinsically motivated, we can't, like, I'm going to work on helping my kid to be intrinsically motivated. It's like saying I'm going to help my kid work on becoming 6 feet tall.
Right.
Because it's going to happen when it happens, and it's not going to happen until then by you working harder. So the question is, if he was intrinsically motivated, what problem would that solve for you? Let's go back to the problem, focus on solving the problem another way while you're waiting for him to become intrinsically motivated. How does that feel?
Okay. Yeah.
So, Tammy, I think that's another way. I would have said the same thing for you. I just would say it now that I've kind of cooked it a little bit. I'm going to go back to you in a minute.
Okay.
So, Jennifer, so what problem do you feel is the most challenging for you because he doesn't yet have that intrinsic motivation?
Well, it's frustrating to me because it's like, why can't you? Why don't you get it? Can't you see? I mean, we've done this before. You know, what is so hard for you to figure it out or to remember it?
So can I give you a challenge for a place to take aim, Jennifer, based on what you just told me?
Sure.
I'm going to challenge you to take aim on what to do when your brain says, why can't he just?
Okay.
How does that feel?
Okay.
Okay.
Kind of.
Yes?
Okay, it, not to throw religion in there, but the only thing I can think of is how people say, prayers are answered in God's time. Well, darn it, I want it now.
You want it now? Of course you do. Right,
you,
which is
you
why
know,
I,
what,
go ahead.
Why can't, of course not, okay, I don't want it now, but... why can't he get it now, or why can't he figure it out now, or, we've been through this before, why can't he, comprehend that we've been through here before, we've been through this before?
So how aware are you of the actual answer to that, Jennifer?
I don't know, and I think that's what frustrates the heck out of me.
Yeah. Well, the answer is he can't because he has executive function challenges and they aren't developed yet. And so you're in a situation where you're having to accommodate an executive function challenge longer than you'd like to. And what you're really wishing was that the executive function challenge would go away tomorrow.
Right. Yeah.
So how does that, so let me go back to my challenge to you. How would it feel to take aim on what to do when your brain says, why can't he just? I know you want to fix the problem. And I'm wondering whether, so here's where my brain goes, right? If you fix, the mindset, we know this, right? Because we've been doing this for a while. If we can fix the mindset, our ability to problem solve changes. Every time you go, why can't he just, you get more triggered. And when we get more triggered, we stop problem solving.
Right.
Okay. So can I leave you there? Does that feel like a good spot?
Yeah.
Okay. Tammy, anything in that for you, seeing as you were kind of dealing with some of the same stuff?
You know what? I missed your question in there.
So we were talking about, I reframed the whole kind of how to handle it while you're waiting for him. And I wonder whether there was any, whether you still feel good about where you're at or whether you want to tweak it all.
No, I think just, you know, just keeping the awareness on the horizon is a good place.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Okay. So we are on page is that? 44, talking about curiosity. Curiosity is actually one of the post-it notes on my wall. True confessions, right? So this is one of those things that one of the tools that I personally like to use, and I use a lot with my clients, particularly as a way to shift from some of those more frustrating or infuriating or difficult situations. Curiosity is a great place in trigger management. It's a great thing to use when you after you take the deep breath or the time out or the sip of water to go, okay, what's really going on here? What's really going on for me? What's really going on for my kid? What's really going on in this situation? What's really going on in their brain? And it doesn't have to be part of trigger management, but when you look at our model, curiosity sits in that first step. Once you take aim, you say, what's going on here? You educate. You really get curious, and you look at what's going on. And the thing I often will tell parents is that when you're in this curiosity step, instead of saying what's going on and giving yourself an answer, ask what are three things that might be going on? Because a lot of times, particularly if we're using this to shift out of frustration, the first answer we give is the one that is the snarky one. So it's like, I've got a kid being disrespectful. What's going on? Well, he's a jerk and he's being mean to me. Is our first answer, right? So we want to kind of challenge ourselves when we get curious to go beyond that initial gut reaction to, well, what else might be going on? What else might be going on? And so I always encourage people to kind of stay in that place of curiosity for a couple of rounds as they try to get clear on what are several things that might be going on, because often it's more than one thing. For those of us with older kids, like the ones on this call usually, this is a great thing to do with our kids. You know, so one of the great collaborative problem-solving tools that I learned is kind of just asking your kid, what's up? What's going on? And just kind of stay in that place of curiosity as long as you can to really get as much information out of them as you can as a way to open up the conversation, connect with your child, expand problem-solving. So there's a lot of really great, powerful things that curiosity can help. So the example I gave, and I just heard this example in another training, I was in this workshop, it's kind of like if your boss is kind of grumpy to you and you think, oh my gosh, my boss doesn't like me, I did something wrong, I'm in trouble. But if you say, wow, I wonder what's going on, maybe she's had a bad day. You know, maybe something's going, maybe she's got a sore back, and so she's uncomfortable. I mean, there's all these things that could be going on that could be impacting it. And our tendency is to go to the worst case scenario. So if we stay in curiosity, we're more likely to look for a variety of different reasons rather than just the one that feels the most logical. So what comes up for you guys around this idea of curiosity? Where do you use it? Have you found it to be helpful? Those sorts of things.
I think it does seem to be helpful because I know my son, when I start asking him, well, what's going on? He's like leery, like, what do you mean? Like, you know, because that's not a typical question.
So what comes up for me as you say that, Jennifer, is how do you make it, how do you expand it so it becomes a typical question? You know, so we probably get curious, but we do it in our head. And so this might be one of those places where becoming more transparent. So it's kind of like, wow, I'm really feeling grumpy right now. I wonder what's going on. You know, just even saying that out loud in front of your kids, or wow, that was interesting. I wonder what's going on. You know, so kind of using curiosity in your day-to-day language, making it more commonplace, might open the door to curiosity so he doesn't get cynical while it's like mom's asking me these open-ended questions. What's going on with mom kind of thing.
Yeah, and I think it's, you know, asking, you know, keep asking, you know. Why didn't you do this? You know, well, what happened that you didn't get this, you know, turned in, or, gee, you didn't get the, you know, the grades you thought you would have. You know, what happened?
So hang on a second. So one of the things that's coming up as you're talking is the language and the tone of the language. So if we use, if our curiosity seems judgy, they're going to be more likely to shut down, right? So if I say, what happened that you failed that test? My kid's going to shut down. But if I say, what happened with the test? Or what did you think about the test? Or what was going on for you the day that you took the test? Or, you know, so it's kind of that finding phraseology that feels less judgy, particularly if we've got a past history of kind of calling our kids to the carpet.
Right. Yeah.
So what are some different phrases you could use, Jennifer, that might feel authentic?
I think, you know, what did you think about the test? Just asking more, what do you think or what do you feel about it, rather than, well, you studied, what happened?
Mm-hmm.
Why do you think you failed? Why, you know? And I think if asking the why, he won't know.
Well, and a lot of times that why word puts people on the defensive. Like, yeah, why not know?
And
so
I
think the question is, yeah. Well, and you're really trying
to,
so there's two parts of this is, what are you really trying to find out? And you are trying to find out why, and the reality is he probably doesn't know. So finding out why is really, may not be helpful. Like, and what comes up for me is kind of like, what went well, what didn't go so well, what do you want to do different? You know, so kind of asking those kind of questions focused on, hey, well, so you took this test, what went well? What did you feel good about? You know, kind of focusing on that positive first rather than focusing on the what didn't work initially.
Right.
Or even how he feels about it, right? Because he may be feeling okay about what he got on the test, even though you're like, geez, you only got a C. He may be like, holy cow, I felt like it was so hard and it was all I could do just to answer 5 questions right.
Right.
And if you stay in that place of curiosity, you're going to find that out.
You know, and that gets us in another thing, because he's happy with, as long as he gets above a 70, he's fine. But it's like, really? Mm-hmm. You can do so much better.
So whose agenda is that?
I think it's mine. But it's, you know, wanting to push him, make him, you know, wanting to have more, get more.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Well, and it's perfectly normal, Jennifer, to want that for your child. It's another thing entirely to try to get them to want it, you know, to push that on them. So it's kind of like, imagine you and I were standing here and your favorite car is a Ford and my favorite car is a Mazda, and you're trying to sit here and convince me that I should love Ford. You probably, you know, you might share your opinion with me and then move on. You wouldn't, like, be so passionate about pushing me to love Ford.
Right.
And so this is that tricky piece of it. It's like, how do you instill your values, share your perspective, knowing that this is an independent human being that may or may not take it on themselves?
Right. Yeah. I mean, that's what I struggle with.
Yeah.
Is, you know, why don't you want the same things for you that I want for you? You know, why are you only wanting to do the easiest, simplest?
So those are great questions. So if you were to ask, he doesn't know the answer, but if you were to brainstorm about possible reasons that might be the case, the first one that comes to mind is, like, he's a 15-year-old boy and you're a, you know, over 40-year-old mom, I think.
Yeah, almost 50.
So over 15, mom, right? So there's this huge difference between being 15, which takes us back to compassion. You know, it's like, you may not be able to remember what it was like to be a 15-year-old boy. I don't remember. When I was 15, I wanted the grades. I wanted the A's. I wanted to please everybody. That was part of me. But my kids are like that.
I did too, because I knew what would happen if I didn't get them. I had an older brother and sister, which he has no comparison on.
Well, so here's the other piece of it. To know what will happen requires executive function. So the ability to say, wow, if I fail this test, I'm going to get a bad grade in this class. If I don't study, I might fail this class. And if I fail this class, I'm going to get a bad – or fail this test, I might get a bad grade in this class. And if I get a bad grade in this class, it's going to go on my transcript. And if I get a bad grade on my transcript – I might not get into the college that I want to. I mean, all of that requires executive function. And you know that you have a kid with a deficit of executive function.
Right.
So let me shift gears and ask thoughts from anybody else. Vilma, did you raise your hand on purpose?
I did.
Oh, okay, go ahead.
So I have a kid who knows all of the things that Jennifer wished her son knew. So she knows if she doesn't study, then she's going to be in retail all her life making $8 an hour, and she doesn't want to do that. But she feels completely stuck between I'm not able because I have executive function problem, and I don't want that future that implies. And when I get curious with her about, you know, well, okay, so that day, how were you feeling? You know, was everything okay over at SAS and blah, blah? You know, it gets right back to, I can't make it.
So what you're saying is that the questions that you're asking out of curiosity tend to shut her down. And I think that that's a similar thing to what Jennifer's describing. And I want to challenge all of us to kind of really think mm-hmm. about questions that open, curiosity that opens our kids up, not curiosity that shuts them down. Because we want to know why.
Yeah.
We want to know what happened. We want to get to the bottom of it. That's that problem solving, you know, kind of intense sort of, we got to fix this mindset.
I want her not to be depressed. Yes. I want her to get out of the stuckness. No.
So what's important about asking?
Third way.
So knowing that you want her to stay out of a place of anxiety and depression, Vilma, what are some more important questions to ask?
Okay, I need to go, I need to go back to the psychologist. I don't know.
So it's that insatiable curiosity. So I want to, again, it's that sort of, I got to figure it out so that it doesn't happen again. That's not what we're talking about here. That's curiosity to fix. We're talking about curiosity to connect.
Okay.
Does that feel different?
Well, the way that I can use curiosity to connect to her is to be curious about myself vocally to her, in front of her. Then she can pitch in and we can start having a talk and it'll eventually turn to her dealing with her own doubts.
Mm-hmm.
That's the only thing that I've been able to figure out at all to keep her from just swaying up her hands and
Yeah. So we're not talking about asking a lot of questions. We're talking about just being curious. And there's a difference. So Tammy or Megan, what's coming up?
What's helped us a lot? The curiosity, I think, has helped me more than it's helped him, because when something comes up and I remember to be curious, it kind of takes all the, the triggers away, the disappointment, whatever it is, being afraid, whatever it is, it kind of takes all that away and puts me on a different kind of a path of just being curious about what's going on and all that. But what I found, and I started using it a while back, is something you had mentioned at the beginning, is to say, instead of asking a bunch of questions, is to say to him, what's up? And if I say to him, what's up, when he was a little younger, he used to, give me a couple little answers now. And now that he's older, usually, if I say that, he'll be really snarky with me and say something. Usually he'll swear at me, actually, and he'll be really upset. And then what he'll do is he'll go and he'll do a coping skill, like he'll go for a walk around the block or whatever. But anyway, what I have found is that if I just leave it alone, he takes the what's up and asks himself that. So it's kind of a thing.
I love that, Tammy. And what's coming up for me, that goes back to all the conversation we've had, is that maybe curiosity is something we do more for ourselves than with our kids. Because questioning, and I think that if we get good at being curious and just kind of staying in that place of curiosity, our kids are at a point where they're like, they hear every question as an attack. They hear every question as a judgment. We get into that dynamic. And until we can kind of get out of that dynamic, curiosity, I think, for us needs to probably stay a little bit in our head. And it means we need to be a little more resourceful, and there are times that we won't know what's going on. But if we can stay asking the question of, wow, I wonder what are a couple things that might be going on. Well, he might be upset, or he might be tired, or he might be disappointed, or he might be, whatever it is. But if we can kind of use our creative brain to be curious instead of focusing on fixing something, it kind of keeps it open. Megan, any last thoughts for you before we do our closing question?
Not really.
So I'm going to switch over to page 45 and ask our closing question. So as I'm reading these, take some notes, and then I would love for each of you to give me at least one aha and one action item before we leave today. So what did I pay most attention to? What did I focus on today? What's my clarity? What's an aha or a takeaway that I had? What's a realistic action step for me to take? And how do I set myself up for success? Take some notes. And again, I'd love to hear from each of you at least one aha and one action item.
I like what you said is talk. I think that's what you said. Talking is a tone of language, and I think I've shared before in these calls that we have issues with the three of us saying, "Well, your tone sounds angry. You know, you just sound angry," and it's like, "Well, I'm not." So. I guess, you know, in curiosity, it's how you, like you said, you know, the way you say something or ask, you know, curiosity, asking in a way that opens him up instead of just shutting him down, you know, sort of goes with the tone and how are you saying something.
So what do you want to commit to, Jennifer, to trying?
I think it's, you know, watching my tone, watching how, you know, is my compassion, what I'm thinking is compassion or curiosity, really coming across that way? Or is the tone, my tone, making it sound some other way? I know it's kind of general.
Well, but it sounds like part of what you want to do is just observe for a while and see what you notice. And then you'll be able to figure out, okay, when do I tend to do this? What do I say instead? Does that feel like a good path for you?
Yeah.
Okay. Cool. Who else? Megan, what about you? Well, one aha and one action item.
I think my aha is that I'm so tired that it's really hard for me to be curious. So I need to up the self-care part of things because I just don't have the patience to be curious when I feel like it's when I'm in sort of triage mode, if that makes sense.
Oh, it does. And it ends up being this cycle because when we're trying to fix it and we're in kind of like that mode of just like taking it and moving it, that even creates stress, you know, and so then it's like, then we get more tired. So it's this sort of, you know, whatever comes first, the chicken or the egg, if it's about figuring out how to stay curious or whether it's getting enough rest and feeling good enough so that you're more likely to remember to stay curious or what, you know, it's like this cycle of both directions. So it feels like for you, focusing on the self-care so that you have more energy to focus on the curiosity as a place to start. Did I get that?
Yeah.
Okay.
And yeah, my action is to contact this psychologist who focuses on screen addiction because I really think I don't think it's just ADD anymore. We have a good psychiatrist. We see her regularly. We have a good psychologist who we've been talking about this for a long time, and she said to me today, I think I've done what I can for him. I think this is in, you know, we're going to have to put sort of I need some help on a different level. I think we're in a bigger situation than just ADD. So I have to make the appointment with that person, and hopefully that'll help us get out of this situation. Well, not out of it, but moving in a different direction than just down.
Yeah. Well, if you're feeling like you need some more support for anybody, you know, always know that if you feel like you're needing some more support and you want to kind of talk through with a coach what that might look like in terms of support for yourself, go go ahead and schedule, be sure to schedule a sanity session with one of us, Megan.
Mm-hmm. Okay, thanks.
All right, Tammy.
My aha was that, something that you had mentioned earlier in the call is to say the curiosity you were saying to say the curiosity out loud, you know, so that they can, so that the kids can hear that you do it with yourself as well. So I thought that was
got
great.
It.
So that. Yeah, so I thought that was great. And then my action step is just to, I guess it's to frame it in my brain, and well, to frame it for myself as just to help him be more aware of the you know, the high school thing and all that, instead of making myself all, you know, nervous about it, because he's not nervous about it, you know. So that'll be much better. So,
well, it's really interesting that he's not nervous about it and you're really, really nervous about it. So that's a good indication that to tackle it from two sides. So one is to make him more aware, but the other is to kind of look at whether being this nervous is really serving you. Is that a fair question?
Yeah, well, it's just that I know. I mean, it's just that I know what he can handle and what he can't. I kind of know where he's at, and he can't see that far ahead yet. That's why my whole thing is I want to keep him safe. That's my whole thing, and I don't want to give him more than his, yeah, and I don't want to put more on his shoulders than he can handle. That's my mama bear thing, but I need to, you know, I need to kind of draw it back a little bit just to awareness.
Well, the question I think I'm really asking is, how is worrying actually helping you?
It is not at all, because I just, it, no, it's not at all. It makes me nervous for, you know, but it just, you know.
Yeah. So then the question becomes, what do you do instead of worrying?
Exactly.
So okay.
I just
cool.
have to be content where things are, I just have to be content where we're at right now. And
focus on what you know and what's going on in the moment. I love that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Vilma, what about you? Wrap us up. Mom, are you there? Dennis, on mute. Vilma. All right. So I don't know what happened to Vilma, but she's still there, but she's on mute. So she must have gotten distracted with something. So I'm going to close this off. Thank you all for a great call today. Our next, let me pull up the calendar real quick, is next week is Lifeline on, I don't know. I've got a different laugh. I've got a new calendar format on my computer, and it's making me crazy because it's visually completely different, and now I can't see anything.
Oh.
There it is. Noon on Tuesday the 13th is the next Lifeline call. All right, everybody. Have a great couple of weeks, and we'll talk to you soon.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye, everybody.